You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
We'll try to dig deeper more for the next two more Sunday, but last Sunday, Pastor Alfred shared with us God's design and purpose for us is to be in the to inherit the promise He has given us, and Moses has taken the time to come and meet up with the young generation of Israelites. When the old generation passed away, you know, through the wilderness, the older generation started murmuring and complaining, and started living in unbelief. So a lot of them died, because when they started murmuring and complaining, the Lord sent snakes. And so the next time you murmur and complain, look around. And so a lot of them died. The old generation passed away during their experience in the wilderness. Now a new generation of Israelites are in Kadesh Barnea. And Moses has to sit down with them and explain to them and recount to them what had happened from Genesis to the book of Numbers. And it took him 6 chapters to do that, just to show them what the Lord has done and His faithfulness all throughout these years, even as they have been led through the wilderness. And that's what he did. And so now he has written the book of Deuteronomy, just designed for this new generation of Israelites, including with some of the oldies like Joshua and Caleb. All right? And so this book of Deuteronomy is designed for them before they go inherit the promised land. And so having said that, I'd like you to turn your Bibles. We're now in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means two laws or second law. This is not another law, but it was just reinstated in this place called Kadesh Barnea. That's why it was called Deuteronomy. Chapter 8. Let's all turn our Bibles there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll be reading 2 verses. I'm using ESV. ESV stands for Essentials of Victory, or English Standard Version. And some of you might be wondering why we switched after 30 years to ESV, because the 1984 version of NIV is no longer available via internet. Well, you can buy, but it's not readily available. And so we decided after 30 years of using NIV to jump into ESV. ESV is one of the most prominent, respected translations of the Bible. And the translation was translated word per word rather than just thought. And so we decided to go swing and use ESV for this season in the life of our ministry. So just in case you're wondering what we're using on the PowerPoint or on our, we're in the process of translating even our manuals, our materials into ESV, just to keep you abreast of what's happening. Deuteronomy 8. Verse 17, let's all stand as we read God's word together this afternoon in reverence to Him and His word. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the word of the Lord for us today. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we are grateful that You have spoken to this new generation of Israelites before entering into the promised land. And Lord, I know that You have written that as well, so that even the readers today can now live their lives in faith rather than in unbelief. We want to live our lives in faith, Lord, as we continue to hear Your word, even today. Prepare our hearts to receive. Thank You that You're opening the floodgates of heaven for Your stewards, Your children. Because I know, Lord, finances and provision is big deal to you as well. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say a big, big amen, amen and amen. Go ahead and take your seats. I've given you the background of the book just a while ago, but I'd like you to know that there's this what we call the seduction of success. That when people start to experience His provision, we become self-satisfied and complacent. In other words, there's no more motivation. Some people they lose their edge and their tenacity because they're not hungry anymore. They're full. So there's no more fire in their bones. But I believe God wants us to have that tenacious spirit, the spirit that would, make a person to move on and on. Whether you're in plenty or in lack, you still seek God. It's like, the game 2 months ago. Was it 2 months ago? Between FEU and NU. I mean, NU is already far, far away from the, as a comparison to the competitor. But they kept on giving that shot no matter what. They're not lagging behind. Oh, mahaba naman ang difference. No. They gave their best shot. They're still hungry, even though, the score is far compared to the other one. That's the attitude even amongst believers. God wants us to have an attitude of running to God, attitude of giving Him praise, even not only when we are in lack, but even when we are in plenty. Are we here? Some people, how many of you here agree with me that it's easier to run to God when you don't have money? Should I say that? That's understatement. If we don't have money, we go to the Lord. Now, what about if you have money? Do you still go to the Lord? Well, it depends. You see? And so that was Moses' warning to the new generation of people. And he's saying that he warned them of the possible compromise when they get to the promised land. Because the promised land is not only flowing with milk and honey, there are 31 kingdoms willing to annihilate the people of God. And so there are blessings, but there are also battles in the promised land. And so before entering in, he says, when you enter in chapter 7, don't compromise with the enemies. Don't get so mingled with the world, you don't get to see and recognize the believers from unbelievers anymore. Are you here? So mingled in the world. You can't seem to see the difference anymore. Don't be afraid of them. That's all the message in chapter 7. I just summarized to you in 2 sentences. But in chapter 8, what was the warning? The warning is, when you get in there and experience the promises of God, do not forget God. And that's basically the summary of chapter 8. We're done. Let's go. No. So therefore, Let me put it this way. Some of you might say, oh, that's only the people of God because they're this and that. That is the tendency of human nature. Why do you think Moses has to repeat this in front of the new generation? Because human nature is the same from one generation to another. The same human nature. When we have a neighbor, the children of our neighbor are into, things that are questionable. What do? We think of the father, right? Sino kaya tatay niyan? Kasi hindi nalalayo ang hulog ng bunga sa puno. Tama ba yun? Parang ganon. So we always think, sinong tatay niyan? And the same way with this new generation of people, it says, you know what? Your fathers have done this. But I want you to know, God made covenant with your fathers. He swore to your forefathers. I want you to be reminded. And we, even today, we know of people like that. We call them the self-made man. You know, if we have a friend who made it, a millionaire, a billionaire, or someone who is rich, and we introduce our friend, and we say, oh, by the way, Romel, I'd like you to meet my friend. He's a self-made man. Alam natin ibig sabihin, no? Self-made man means he came from rag to riches. He didn't have anything before, but now he has all of this, you know, he accumulated all of these things in his life. So he's a self-made man. Even that introduction of a self-made man is an error, in error. That's wrong. That's not correct. Why? Because you're giving the credit to the man. But I want you to know the credit is not supposed to be with the man. The credit should be given back to God. Let me show you an example. In the Old Testament, we have a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, he looked at all his possessions, the great Babylon, and he said in verse 30, he said in his word, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my might, power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty? And he looked and he pat himself in the back and says, I'm doing a great job. It's because of my might that I have this great power for the glory of my majesty. You know, right after in verse 33, you know what happened? Immediately, the Lord transformed him, not for good, for bad. He became what? The Bible says in verse 33, Nebuchadnezzar started eating grass like an ox. Not smoking grass, that's different. Eating grass like an ox, parang kambing. He started having an appetite for grass. Not only that, the Bible says his hair started growing from his body, and it became longer, as long as the feather of eagles. Ano ba yung feather ng eagles? Could you imagine, naghahabaan yung mga buhok niya on the spot, natatransform right before your eyes? He started, you know, started wanting to eat grass. Not only that, the Bible says his nails started growing like claws of birds. We have werewolves, the first werewolf in the Bible. And he got transformed on the spot right before your eyes like a horror movie. Why? Because he took the credit to himself. Another wealthy farmer in Luke chapter 12, at Luke chapter 13, verse 19. What happened there? This man, bless you, Luke 12, verse 19. Did I say God bless you? That's good, right? Okay, Luke 19, I remember, nalala ko tuloy. Luke 19, verse 20. You know what happened? This businessman, this farmer, wealthy farmer said this. Soul, he's talking to himself. The first selfie in the Bible, soul. Yung soul niya, yung kanyang spirit. Sabi niya, soul. You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. I could imagine him looking at himself in a mirror. Soul. Then he says, you have ample goods. And says, laid up for many years. Relax. This is ESV. Relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what happened? Right after that, the Bible says, the Lord took his life. Anong relax, relax ka dyan? Relax, relax ka. You know what he's saying? You know, I've got all of this. I have to build bigger barns. Relax, eat and be merry. The Lord took his life, and the question was, he says, and the things that you have, where will they be? He says, whose will they be? Kanino mo ibibigay lahat ng nakulek mo? Because you just died. So you don't say that. Another successful businessman in the book of James, this businessman stood up and says, tomorrow, this is his declaration. He says, tomorrow, James chapter 4. Tomorrow I'm going to this town and trade and make profit to myself, for myself. And then when he said that, the scripture says in James, you don't say, tomorrow I'll go there and trade and make profit for myself. You should say, if it is the Lord's will, I'm going to go there to that town and trade and make profit. How about that? In other words, what James was saying, even as a businessman, the one in charge of your business is God himself. You still acknowledge if it is the Lord's will. If I'll go to that town tomorrow. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but God knows. And the Bible says our lives are like a mist, that it vanishes just like that. So how dare we claim our own, control our own lives, if at the end of the day, it is truly the Lord who is in charge of the affairs of men, including in your business. Not only that we see this pattern, even from Daniel to the wealthy farmer to the successful businessman, even the church was rebuked. God rebuked a church. I'm hoping that this rebuked will not reach victory. That at one point, there's this church in Revelation 3:17. They're called Laodicean Christian Fellowship. That could have been their name. The church in Laodicea. And the Lord says, how dare you say to yourself, I'm rich and I've made myself prosperous. You are nothing, the scripture says. This is Revelations, okay? You're nothing but wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. That's your status. You're declaring to the world that you are rich, but actually you are blind and naked and poor. I hope that as a church, we don't come out with that sense of, arrogance and think that we're from victory and we have this. But I hope we have a heart of humility by the grace of God, that we will bless the body of Christ, that we'll be a blessing to our community. Rather than say, we are this because of who we are and the commitment of our members. It's not about your commitment in this church. It's about his faithfulness to this church. Come on now, are you here with me? It's his faithfulness at the end of the day. It's not because we have great leaders, though we have. But it's not about them and it's not about our tithes and offerings. Not because we're generous and we're committed. That's why we're rich or have this. No, no, no. It's because God is faithful and is able to provide. So I sent all of this just to let you know this is human nature. That when we experience all of this, we forget God. Moses was telling the new generation, do not forget God. When you reach that place, do not forget God. So what I'm saying is this. The Lord is, Moses reminded them and says, the Lord has taken you out from the land of Egypt, brought you out in verse 14 of chapter 8, led you through. In verse 15, chapter 8, led you through so that you can go into the promised land in verse 7. Get into the promised land, bringing you into a good land. So we see that the purpose of God for God's people, from start to finish, I believe the Lord has done and he started something in your life through the gospel of Jesus. Who among you would agree to that? He started something in your life. And I want you to also know that he who started something in your life will also bring it to completion. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 said that. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God will see you through. God will bring it to completion. But Lord, how can we be brought to completion? My loved one passed away at the age of 30. How can we say, that he completed his mission on earth? Whether it's 30, whether it's 50, 70, or 80, God has a purpose for our lives, and he'll bring to completion that purpose that he has for you. I'm 49 now, though I don't look like one, right? I'm going to be 50 next year. 50, man, that's half a century. That's old. I think I can say that because next year I'll really be old. I feel young, 49, okay? 50 is just old. And I know you're going to welcome me, some of you who are here today, to that club of 50, 60, 70. And I'm welcoming myself. But the point is this. Whether I'll still be alive next year, let's just say the Lord decided to take me next year. I would still thank God for the purpose that is given in my life the last 50 years. He owns everything, including the days of my life. If he takes me 55, 60, great. The Bible says man's lifespan is 70, 80 if you have the strength. You think you can make it to 80? I've known of people who are 90. Who among you here are 80 and above? Raise your hands. 80 and above. 80 and above. God bless you, ma'am. 80 and above. Wow, amazing. Can we just give her a big, big hand? But if the Lord would decide to take you at a young age, his purpose is still prevailed. If he took a person's life when he was 20, we still say, Lord, you have fulfilled your purpose in the life of that person, 20-year-old person. What about 15? What about 10? What about 5 years old? What about an hour? Yes, an hour. Will you still say, Lord, thank you for that an hour that you've given us to enjoy our daughter? Now, this is real. I'm a pastor. I know it. This young couple had a baby. The baby was born with special needs, and they have to bring that baby to the incubator. And the doctor said he has only an hour to live. Who should the couple call? Your pastor. So I was there. Now, as a pastor, on my way to the hospital, I was thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to this couple who have been believing for their first baby, and the baby was born, and the baby was only given 1 hour to live? I went to the room and encouraged them. They're about to visit, the last look, before they take the baby back to the incubator. But when we were there, I just reminded of God's purpose for us. Even if it's an hour, God still holds the key and the time. He holds our life in his hands. He's in charge. If it's only an hour to inspire the couple, so be it. The baby fulfilled the purpose. But let me tell you this. Psalms 138 verse 8 says this. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Tell to the person next to you, God is going to fulfill his purpose for your life on this earth. Some of you, you didn't get it. It's so long. Pakiulit. My Bible says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And he says, your steadfast love, why can he do that? Because he loves me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands, O God. Do not forsake the work of your hands. How many of you, if you look at yourself in the mirror every day, that's the work of God. Thank you, Lord. Do not forsake, Lord, this person right here. He is an intricate masterpiece of your hands. Thank you for this person right here, right in front of me. Why? Because he loves me. And he has a purpose for me. And God has a purpose for you. He's going to make sure that you have the gospel has started in your life. Whatever he has started, he'll bring it to completion. Whether it's 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 90 years, 100 years. Siguro if you reach 100, ikaw na mag-ask kay Lord. Lord, kunin niyo na ako. Lord, I cannot eat anymore. I don't have teeth. Baka ikaw na magbeg kay Lord. But the point is this. He will fulfill his purpose. Now, as we go through, he led the people of God through the wilderness. He will guide you as well in this life. Who among you here are glad that God is your guide in this life? But remember, as he guides you, he will test you. Say tests. So therefore, in this test, he'll guide you and there are tests. Now, if you go to a university with a lot, you know, when you go to a university, one thing I like about university, allowance. One thing I hate about university, tests. Now, you're not going to go through this life just all allowance and no tests. He will guide you, but there will be tests. And there are tests that Moses mentioned, the new generation is it a test? God tests us by his word. He will test us by his word. And whether you're going to believe and feed yourself with the word of God, or you're going to feed yourself with the things of the world. You won't be able to make it if you're feeding yourself with all the bad news that are out there. But you have to make a choice and say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to listen to your word, because faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Lord, I don't want to live my life in unbelief. I want to live my life in faith. And faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And so the word of God, verse 1 says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in the possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Later part of verse 3 says, man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. His word equals our very lives. Without his word, there will be no life. Man does not live by bread alone. There's another level in this life that we need to be part of. And it's the level where the word of God prevails and his promises in our lives. The word. Say his word. So there's a test. Every day I listen to the word of God 30 or an hour every day. Because 30, that's 5K. I listen to, I download a Bible app and I click audio and I listen to it while running. That's 30 minutes. That's 5K. If it's an hour, that's 10K. And I listened to his word. And I listened to the voice of God. And he sounded like Max McLean. That's the name, the person reading the word. And so that's amazing. Where we get into the word of God and let the word of God lead us in our daily living. And let faith rise up within us. When we go through this life filled with negativity, we get into the word and get encouraged by him through his word. Second test is God tests us by his ways. By his ways. Sometimes his ways we can't understand. We kind of suggest to the Lord, Lord, why don't you do this? But the Lord says, you do this. It may be aligned to what you like, but sometimes it's not aligned to what you like. And as you desire yourself, as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give the desires of your heart. And so his ways sometimes are higher than our ways. Sometimes we try to pursue his call in our lives and we meet failures. We face failures. But instead of beating yourself up, why don't you just pause for a while and have a smile on your face and declare that God is sovereign anyway. When you face failures, your business might have not worked last year. And now you're gaining momentum this year. How many of you here believe that the Lord closes the door because the Lord has something else open for you? When you start seeing closed doors all over the place, seemingly great closed doors, you look to God and says, Lord, all these doors are closed. Your door that you're about to open must be greater than all these doors. There's faith rising up within you. You might not understand it in your current situation, but you know God is in charge. Say, God is in charge. His ways, sometimes he would bring you to a place of discipline. And it's okay, that's part of life. Without discipline, just as a man would discipline his son, so is the Lord is going to discipline us. Verse 6, verse 7, you can see that there. Let's go to verse 3. I want to look at verse 3 here, just read it quickly. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know. Nor did your father know. Fathers know. But Pacquiao knows. No. Anyways. He did not know. But your fathers did not know. I mean, this is manna. Manna means, what is it? They wake up in the morning and go out and eat. What is it? What is it? I'm asking. No, I'm calling it. What is it? That's the name of the food. What is it? Manna means what is it? So could you imagine you go up, Lord, I'm hungry. Oh, I'll go up and get what is it? I don't know what is it, but it is, you know, I'm going to eat it. And you know what the Lord is saying? What he's saying to the people of God is, look, every morning you wake up for my provision for you every day. That's why we go to God and say, Lord, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, Lord. They were not asked to collect manna so that they can provide for the entire week. No, they're obliged to get out of the room and rely on God's provision every day. Who among here, you want to rely on God for his provision for your life? If you're single, including your future spouse, you rely on him for his provision for you. That is his ways. Then we move on to the last one. God tests us as he guides us from start to finish. He guides us, but God tests us with his word, with his ways. Sometimes we don't understand, but it's okay. And with his wealth. God tests us by his wealth. In other words, when you're given provision, you are under a test. Will you humble yourself or will you be proud? You better humble yourself, because if you're not going to humble yourself, God will humble you. You don't want God to humble you. You might as well, oh Lord, I humble myself now, Lord. Because it'll be a crushing moment in your life if God humbles you. But he will, because you are his son and daughter. And so you allow God to humble you. It's a test. Wealth is a test. Will you still remember him when wealth is there? Today, I've watched the movie God's Not Dead the other day. Who among you watched the movie already? Raise your hands. Who among you did not watch it yet? Raise your hands. It's available, I think, still. I think so. You can watch it. Now, God's Not Dead was written. It's a book, apologetics book, written by Rice Brooks, one of the founders of Every Nation, our church Victory. And PureFlix, the production, headed by a different businessman, decided to make a movie out of that book. It's an apologetics book. It is not novel, but they were inspired to write a book about a debate and argument inside a campus in a university. It was an amazing movie, but it's still a Christian movie. So what happened was only a few theaters in the U.S. showed it, but they didn't realize, the other cinemas didn't realize that it picked up traction, that a lot of people started watching. So a lot of cinemas heard that it's being shown and people are still watching. They decided to, you know, get the movies also to be shown in their cinemas across America. It gained momentum that other nations started having the movie as well. But there are other nations that they did not show the movie, including the Philippines. So what Steve, Pastor Steve did, he talked to one of our businessmen here in Manila, sat down with him and says, would you invest to have that movie shown in the Philippines? He's a businessman. And he said, yes, we'll do our best whatever we can to support you. But we're gonna show it. So it's now shown because of a businessman who's willing to invest. Wow. That same businessman is the same businessman whom I heard last year when I went to Tacloban and I gave a report that Buddhists and Muslims are pouring millions of dollars to Tacloban, helping the poor, and they're going to be putting up mosques and temples. When this businessman heard about it, he said, we should be putting up church there. He says, if it will be approved, I want you to know I set aside 10 million pesos already for our church. Wow. Now, what about that for a businessman who has a purpose for the wealth God has given him? Wow. Come on, let's give a lot of praise for that. We go to verse 7, verse 6, verse 5. It talks about manna. It talks about clothing that lasted for 40 years. No fashion outfit can provide, such clothing that can last for 40 years. Maybe, I'm sure nilabahan naman. I'm sure plenty of clothing. And then the Bible says that their foot did not swell. In other words, they had a beautiful, I don't know, amazing sandals. Cushioned maybe. That it did not make their foot swell, the Bible says. And not only that, but, you know, the Lord has provided for them. And then verse 8. I want us to look at verse 8 and we're going to pray. And the land of wheat and barley, is this it? That is not. 18, sorry. I'm sorry. 18, verse 18. And it says, let's all read this together. Ready? Go. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is today. Remember that it is God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So don't get the credit to yourself. Give the credit back to God. You are where you are today because of His grace and goodness in your life. You are where you are today because of His provision for your life. And so we give Him all the praise and the thanksgiving, and we bless Him for it. Verse 10, and we're going to close with this. Verse 10. Did I say close for verse 18? Let's go verse 8. Verse 10. And you shall eat and be full. And you shall what? Let me ask you, who among you here, you pray before you eat? Raise your hands. Wave your hands. You don't care if you're seated with a prominent person, with a mayor, or with the president of the Philippines, you will pray for your food anyway. Because you're a believer, right? You thank God, you don't care. A lot of people, they pray every time, but they neglect every time they are with their unbelieving friends. You understand me, Lord. Anong you understand. Meron ka lang non-believing friends in front of you, you can't pray anymore, di ba? So we pray before we eat. But this verse says, when you eat and are full, you bless the Lord. Just in case you have forgotten to pray before you eat, when you feel like you're full, how do you know you're full? When you burp, remember? I'm sorry, excuse me. When you burp, you know you're full, right? You know what the Lord says? When you have eaten and are full, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord means thank Him, worship Him, be grateful to His provision in your life. And when every time 15th of the month or 30th of the month, you're lining up on that, you're lining up in front of the ATM machine, you're about to thank God, right? Because, right? Are you here with me? You can't wait because you're going to receive God's provision for your life that day and you're going to thank God. Now, even if the ATM says insufficient funds, after blaming HR, you say, thank you, Lord. You're able to provide. You still deserve all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Are you here with me? Among you are grateful that God is our Father in heaven, and it's big deal to Him to bless you and provide for you because you are His children. Let's just give Him praise right now. I want the music group to come. I want you all to stand up right now. If you're here, you're saying, Pastor, I realize He's my Father in heaven, and I'm supposed to be His child. But the Bible says to those who believe in me, I've given them the right to become my children. Believe in me. Believe in what? Believe in who He is. He is our Savior. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So when we receive Him into our lives, we receive the right to become His children. And we look to Him and we say, our Father, you really mean it. Because He's truly your Father in heaven. And He provides. As a father provides for his children, our Father in heaven provides for us. So we give Him glory, we give Him credit, we give Him all the honor that He deserves, and we bless Him. Say, bless Him. You know, God blesses us, but we can bless Him back. I want you to bow down your heads. Father God, thank you for these men and women whom you brought here today. Singles, married, senior citizens, teenagers, high schools, even elementary. Lord, I thank you for these people whom you brought here today. Lord God, that today we learned that there's a lure there's a trap. Prosperity is waiting for us. And that's the trap of being ungrateful, being forgetful, Lord, being self-sufficient and complacent. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we would learn, Lord, help us to continue to bless you, whether in plenty or in want. Lord, we are called, Lord, to bless you and worship you in all our ways.